Hi there, everyone. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. I am so happy to be here with you. This is the first night that we're doing this new time. I was on Station 1, and now I'm on Station 2. It's an honor to follow Dr. Brooks Agnew and to be before Almin. So I'm so glad you're out there. We're going to be talking about the Akashic Records and what they are and what they can do for you. I want to tell you that I'm really kind of a no-nonsense kind of a gal, and the fact that this is not a woo-woo program, not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's not about futures. It's not about seeing into the future with the Akashic Records, because we are living on a planet of free will choice, and the Akashic Records and the energy of the Akasha are there for us to access for assistance in our life in the here and now. For too long, we as a species, in some cases, not everyone, but in some ways, we've tried to live in the future or blame things on the past. And so what this program is about is helping you understand who you are, why your life is the way it is, and how the energy of your soul can help you make appropriate choices. And for those people who have never listened to the Akashic Wisdom Show, I want you to really call in and ask questions all about the Akasha. My service to you is this show. I believe that knowing more about the energy of the Akasha can expand our knowing as not only this planet, but it can expand our knowing of ourselves. So just to kind of give you a little bit of an update on how we do this, the Akashic Records are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. So every thought, every word, every deed is registered in the Akasha, including your soul's information and your soul's intention for this lifetime. Now, again, this is not about past lives so much, and it's not about futures. It's about here and now. And so what we do is the Akashic Records I access through a holy prayer, and the prayer itself is a vibrational key. The key shifts the energy and makes the information accessible. And so there's interesting things we've talked about on the program. Again, for those people who have never listened before, we've talked about crop circles, and we've talked about various different things, relationships we talked about last week. And this week, I am going to be talking about addictions and why humanity has brought them forward, and we're going to talk about obesity and why that seems to be a real epidemic here on the planet right now. And I'm going to be taking your questions, and so there's two ways to get your questions to me, and the questions can be personal or they can be global, and the global questions are always fun and personal questions are always helpful. I try to stay away from why your Aunt Susie is in your life only because that's really more for an individual type of a consultation. But you can email me questions at info@akashicwisdom.com. And you can also call in. And there's a worldwide toll-free number. It's 888-228-4494. And so every week I take your questions. I'm not so much into guests. I do have guests now and then, but you are my guest. And your questions are what really fuel this work. We're going to be here for an hour. And what I have done is prior to the program, I have opened the records with, again, that specific sacred prayer. And I teach people how to access their own Akashic Records, and I also do individual consultations. And many times, it'll end up that I'll do a consultation with a person right on the air when they call in and have specific questions. If you email me, it would be helpful for you to put in your current legal name. I will not share it on the air, but that's the way we access your specific area of the records. It's your question and your current legal name that gets us that real specific answer for you. And again, my name is Donna Fox, and you can read about all the things that I do on the BBS information. I've got a shit over from Station 1, Station 2. But again, if you'd like to call me privately, my telephone number is 216-691-1233. Anytime after the show, that's a 24-hour line, and if I'm around, I'll pick it up. Okay, so we're going to talk now about addictions and obesity. Now, what's interesting about this is that we are now at a time, and when I talk, by the way, again, you folks are just listening, when I talk to you about different subjects, these subjects either have come from listeners who have emailed me questions or ideas for the show, or the record keepers, as I open up the show, will give me information about what we're going to talk about. But the idea of this planet that we live on is a planet of struggle, and it's up to us. And again, let me go back on that. One of the things the record keepers have shared with me is that we are on a planet of struggle. That's the way it's been designed. And the struggle is for us to actually come back to who we truly are, to really move into that creator form that we are, and for us to remember that we are the creator gods, that we are the ones that we've been waiting for. And so when this information is accessed, I don't interpret anything. I tell you exactly what I see, hear, or sometimes feel. And it's information that sometimes you say, well, you know, I know that, but I needed to hear it again, or I've never heard it quite that way. So I encourage you to call in and ask whatever questions you want and allow the record keepers to bring forth the answers. If we were sitting across from each other, you would know that and see that my eyes are wide open, I'm in full personality, and this is not channeling. This is not considered channeling because nothing enters my body. It comes through via thought forms or pictures or stream of consciousness. So it's very much here and now. So getting back to the subject at hand, what we are talking about here are the need for addictions. The need for addictions actually on this particular planet were created as a way of opening certain centers of our knowingness within our bodies and our fields to be able to actually access a different dimension consciously. When a person is in the throes of addiction, and I want to make a comment that this addiction could be coffee. It doesn't necessarily have to be recreational drugs or hard drugs or alcohol. Clearly, those are more dimensionally shifting than a cup of coffee or a cigarette. But nevertheless, there is a need for the dimensional shift to occur for that individual soul's experience to be able to expand itself and receive information and then use that information as a way back to healing the wounds of the times of this lifetime. Now, one of the things that's important about understanding about addictions is that when we, as creators, and when we sat with our council of guidance prior to coming into this lifetime, if you believe in reincarnation, and just as a comment, a person doesn't have to believe in reincarnation in order to be able to work with the Akashic Records. You want to think about the Akashic Records as if it was like the DNA of the universe, so that your DNA within your body carries all the information of all your ancestors since the beginning of your lineage on the planet. And when you reincarnate and come into the family of origin, the physical family of origin, you actually take on the DNA of all those ancestors That DNA of all those ancestors is what gives you the information as well as the challenges that allows your soul the experiences that you have desired. Now, the addictive part of our beingness is an actual opening and wounding that we choose prior to coming in as an experience and a form of forgiveness of self. Now, anyone who has ever been in the throes of addiction and then moves out of that addiction knows that one of the most important pathways out of the addiction is through forgiveness. And that forgiveness is primarily of self and then the others around them. And it also is a matter of accessing the struggle and the numbing of the psyche to actually allow the recalibration of a wider and finer space of information. Now, let me just kind of explain that. Not everyone beats the addictions. And clearly there are people that we know in our families that are still addicted, and we hurt for them. So the different roles, if you will, of the addictions in our life also serve as observations. They serve as observations for our children and our sisters and our brothers. And when we observe our parents in the throes of addiction, or when we observe our friends in the throes of addiction, there are choices that we make as humans around how we want our life to look and feel. And so addictions also carry the energy of sacrifice. They carry the energy of helplessness. They carry the energy of shame. And they also carry the energy of compassion. And so these addictions that we as creator gods ourselves and in relationship to our creator God, we have created them on the planet to be able to access feelings and situations that we would not normally be able to if in fact this wounding was not on this planet. It's also important to understand that there are other universes or other planets that look very similar to Earth, that feel very similar to Earth as far as atmosphere and environment. And the inhabitants look very much like humans from Earth. But there are actually universes or planets where addiction has not been a choice of experience. And so if you were to actually experience that, you could experience a planet or an environment without the addictions. It has a very, very different feel and a very different conceptual way of looking at life. And it's very interesting. Now, there's also what I want to share with you is that within the Akashic Records, anything that has ever lived or is living now has an Akashic Record. And what's important to understand is that the Akashic Record is a recording. It's a vibrational frequency. And as many of you know, and if you've listened to Brooks Agnew and other hosts on BBS, you know that everything is vibration and frequency here. And so what's important to understand is that vibration and frequency holds, and so we come in and we hold that vibration and frequency in different, at different levels of intelligence. And so as actions or words or emotions are felt, that creates a vibration and frequency that is then caught, if you will, in a finite ether and is held in the Akashic record for each individual. And then collectively, on a universal level, from an informational point of view. Now, what's important also for you to understand is that within our lifetimes, addictions, the actual concept of addictions in being conscious has come forward in the last 50 years in a different way than they ever have before. And I want to point out to you, again, depending on your age, but if you were alive and growing up in the 40s or 50s, or even in the 60s, you will remember that actually the 60s is when it started really kind of moving into the addictive part becoming more public. Prior to that, you had AA, but AA was not something anyone that really talked about. But if you'll remember back to the 40s, 50s, and 60s, it was okay to give somebody a bottle of liquor as a gift. I mean, that's the way employers used to reward their employees, is with a bottle of liquor, or you'd give the mailman a bottle of liquor, or that was a gift that you gave people, and now it'd be considered very politically incorrect to give someone that you didn't know well, a bottle of liquor as a gift. Years ago, it was considered okay, and that everybody, why, of course they would want to buy a bottle of liquor, why wouldn't they? So the addiction was not in the forefront. It wasn't in everyone's face. And so what's important to understand from a cultural point of view, what the record keepers want you to understand, is that as we have moved forward in the expansion of our addictions, we have moved forward in the expansion of the addictions to actually expand the compassion of humanity. About opening up of the heart. And then we come to this point in time where obesity is at record levels. And the obesity is in children and it's in adults and it is running rampant all over the world, but specifically very, very deeply in the United States. And one of the reasons that obesity, I mean, you can talk about the way the food is, you can talk about the kids not exercising, et cetera, that it's not that it's not true, but you have to understand that the obesity is becoming more and more prevalent because of the fear base that we are living under, and it's a stress point that's the way that it's coming out from a physical manifestation of the human. Now, so if you look at the progression of the addiction and the way the addiction has literally come out of, I don't want to say the closet, but it's become more prevalent or more, we become more aware of it to the point that no one really up to this point thought of overeating. I'm talking about a grand scale. I'm talking about a public scale as a quote-unquote disease. we never really thought of someone being heavy as being having an actual addictive situation, and that's why they were heavy or they were fat. And it's becoming more and more clear that this addiction towards food, or the fear factor of that is creating the need for the food, is here. Now notice that we are now in a time, you know, we're a few years away from 2012, and here we have obesity. Now, within our DNA, we are carrying information not only from times of famine, times of war, but every time the subject of 2012 comes up, there is a fear that is an underlying fear because of all the different opinions of what happens or what's going to happen with 2012. That activates within the DNA of the human and creates a real fear base that creates the need to actually starting to shore up the bodies out of fear of being destroyed. Now, I would love to hear from somebody. Let's have a conversation about this. So if you find this interesting or if you have a question, why don't you give me a call? Again, the worldwide number is 888-228-4494. And by the way, you don't have to agree with me. I love a lively discussion. Let's talk. This is a service to you. And I'd love to hear from you via email if you have ideas of what you would like to know about from the Akashic Records. So please email me your questions at info, INF as in Frank, O, at akashicwisdom.com. That's AKASHICWISDOM. Now, I understand that sometimes you folks don't like to call in, so that's why we want you to email those questions, and we can move on to that, if that's of interest to you. And the only way that I'm going to know if this is of interest to you is if you call in and let me know that that's what you want to do, that's what you have a question about. Because I know that there were some people out there that were trying to understand the soul's intention behind not only the palliative struggle, but also with the idea of obesity. Now, the other piece of the obesity epidemic, if you will, is we are now becoming more aware and of the need of acceptance of all people. And we have gotten over, or hopefully we have gotten over the hump of not judging someone because of their color or their race or their gender. We're still working on it, I understand. But that is way more advanced than judging someone because of their physical appearance. That seems to be the last, I mean, physical appearance, whether you're fat, you're thin, and all the underlying assumptions that people have about folks that are overweight. And those assumptions that people carry within their heart are also what is needed to be able to be dissolved. It's the same types of assumptions that hold people back from receiving abundance and prosperity because of the underlying beliefs that a person has around dollars or money or what they think of rich people, etc. And we've done whole programs on that, and we can certainly do another program on that. I also have a a whole workshop called Prosperity Marketing. And it's not just marketing for your business, but it's marketing yourself to yourself in many cases. It's understanding and exploring the different aspects of your belief systems around money. And so the idea here is that we are now in the process of exploring the underlying belief systems of how we look at the world and our brothers and sisters out there. And we are now breaking down those stereotypical ideas of who people are. We are coming into a new consciousness. 2012 will offer us an expanded version of ourselves. And so I don't want someone to think that I'm saying it's okay to be overweight. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we have to revise our belief systems so that we may begin to forgive and love ourselves so that we will be able to neutralize all those beliefs we have. So now we have a caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Yeah, hi, Donna. It's Noella from Canada. Nice topic tonight.
Oh, thank you. Glad you called in.
Yeah, I have another outlook on obesity. I have a daughter who is sleeping right now, thank God, because she doesn't like discussing it. But she was, you know, fairly normal size until she got to about maybe 9.
Uh-huh.
And she's very tall, and she grows very fast, too. So she's 6 foot tall as well. So
how old is
but,
she?
20.
Okay.
Now, of course, she went through the bullying, all that stuff, which didn't support it, of course, and was a bad reflection on others. And so that didn't help. It's sort of like a vicious circle, you know.
I missed that. She said that she was bullied.
It's like a vicious circle because with her, she finds, like, you know, she's exercising and stuff, and then she, the input of others doesn't help. Let's put it that way. It's a nice way of putting it. They just add more pressure. And I just tell her.
Are you talking about people at the gym or her friends or family or?
Yeah,
what?
Anything like that. I just said, go for a walk with the dog. Do what you can. Even 2 steps is better than no step. And don't listen to these people that it's not going to make anything effective because it's emotionally effective, psychologically effective. And eventually, she gets into it and then, like, but then she slips back, and she admits she has a food addiction. But part of it for her was not quite a form of, like, full sexual abuse, but it was a protection for her to keep guys away. That's what she was saying. It's like, because her dad, he didn't abuse her, but there were times, like, he was bipolar, and there were times where she felt funny. How can I say? It wasn't, well, appropriate on his part, the way he was acting.
Was it actions or was it verbal?
Both.
Okay.
Through actions were like sometimes they'd be playing. Like she said, sometimes I felt like he was more my boyfriend than my dad. And it confused her. And she didn't like it, so she started putting on weight. And she said after that he left her alone.
Was she living with him?
Oh, yeah. We were all living together. I mean, we're still in contact. He never touched her, but it was just a feeling she was getting.
Sure, I understand.
And I trusted that feeling because of his past with his mother. And, I mean, nothing happened, but it was like she thinks he wanted something to happen, but he knew better. But she felt it.
The thing is, you have to understand what happens energetically with that.
Yes.
And so that what one of the reasons why we women actually gain weight is to is you're, she's very right and there was like that it's true that she's afraid of
of
being attractive
for the wrong person a big person in her life she was afraid to be attractive. But to her, a particular person, and then she felt safe after, she said, lost interest. And so that became a crutch and then her addiction. So it's a sort of a little different from what you were saying, but it's still fear-based. It still comes from fear.
But the idea here is that it's not just fear-based, it's a feeling of helplessness.
That's right. That's right.
And what's happening, and this is not just, and again, I'm not trying to the record keepers, I'm not trying to psychoanalyze your daughter, because there's clearly deeper things going on than that would be more important to have an individual consultation if she really wants to understand the deeper meanings to be able to relate.
Right. Well, she doesn't believe in any of this stuff, Donna.
Well, that's
she doesn't even believe in a God. So,
well,
it's hard to discuss.
I finish what you're saying. I'm sorry.
Oh, I just said that she's not the type of person. Like, she's very brilliant. She's very artistic. She believes in a kind of a creator, but she doesn't believe in any of this. So she's not open to it.
Get a consultation.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. What was being said here is that it's really more about from a general point of view that one of the reasons that people. From an emotion, it's an emotional thing. That's what we're talking about, the compassion.
That's right.
Is that the fear is that they will be taken advantage of.
That's right.
It's a feeling. It's a feeling of helplessness.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea is the mind tells them that if they're fat, nobody will care about them. But what happened?
It's like she knows there's love and everything involved, but she just separate from the love of a parent. She knew this was sort of like a man-female thing too.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, she's not scared of guys or anything. She's actually a very tough cookie, but that's a mask too, as we know. That's her front,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But deep down, like, she's starting to talk to me about it now. Like, she's home from school for holidays and she's opening up more, and I'm just listening to her and I'm just saying, yeah, I can understand where you're coming from. And now that she understands it, she says, I'm kind of glad I was fat back then, because I think it would have been more complicated with the other problem if it had occurred. So that was her conclusion.
Does she have a relationship? Is she going with anybody?
No, she just dates a lot right now because she's really deep in school. She doesn't want to get too involved, you know. It's just sort of like casual dating, nobody special.
But it,
not that she doesn't want anybody special. Yeah.
Is she still overweight?
Yes.
Yeah, she dates a lot.
I beg your pardon?
I was asking you, is she overweight? And she still dates a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
in
good.
Fact, she's come to the conclusion, she posts her picture, proud as anything, and she says, this is me, this is what you're going to get. And when you come and meet me, like, she does this online through the university dating.
Uh-huh.
And she says, no hard feelings. If you come to the door and I could freak you out, we'll just be friends or something like that. But she's very open, and she gives everybody out, and she says, I don't put my heart into it anymore. She says, I put my creativity. She uses her passions to attract her music, her writing, her drawing, her paintings. That's where she gets her strength.
Uh-huh.
And so that opens her up to, yeah, maybe I'm fat, but everyone's got something that they're bugged about. And so she's, like, learning to, I'm going to improve on this, both emotionally, physically it'll get there, but she's working on the emotional part. And,
yeah,
and she's working it out.
Yeah. The piece is that what's really, what's going to be important is that it's important for her to really get clear of who she is and be proud of who she is, no matter what she looks
right.
like.
That's exactly. Oh. And she's a very pretty girl and everything. It's just she's overweight, like everyone says. But I love her because I know what she is. And I said, it's just a shame we live in a world where outside appearance is so important. that we miss the most beautiful jewels inside of all of us. And
right.
So I tried, you know, I tried to say, see past that. See, like, look into the eyes. And she said, yeah, you know, Mom, if someone doesn't look me straight in the eye, I can't talk to them because I know that they're not listening. They're not taking it all in, you know.
Uh-huh.
They're thinking about what am I going to say next and all that. She's very, very intelligent. Like, I think she's actually coming to terms with it all. And, but, you know, it's a maturity thing too, eh?
Right.
You know, getting your strength of character to be able to say, I don't care what others think. Not that way. Their opinion is their opinion. She's gotten to that point now. So it's a long haul because you keep going back and forth. You know, you get emotional, too, because if it doesn't work out, sometimes you go back to that, oh, it's because I'm big. And then you got to say, no, maybe it is, but they're shallow, and maybe that's not the right person for you. And
well,
that's how we
learn. First of all, what's really important is if somebody starts a relationship with, I was working with a client, and I think I said this last week, I was working with a client who had weight issues. And she was concerned about becoming intimate with a boyfriend because of her own physical body image.
Exactly.
And, you know, but the reality is that that person, that boyfriend or whatever, it's not, they're not, it's like, you're not wearing this cloak that says, I'm a size 2, and as soon as you take your clothes off, you're a size 16. No, that's not it, you know?
Yeah,
that's
she,
not what that
she knows. Yeah, it's funny how we are. She actually has had a couple of physical relationships, and she says, she's the opposite. She says, I put my picture up there. You knew what you were going to get. I'm giving you the door if you don't like it. That's what she said.
Well, yeah.
She's doing what you're saying.
The thing is, women and men too. In other words, like there's a lot of guys out there that feel bad about their body image. You know, they don't have the muscles they think they should, or they don't think they're as cute or as handsome as other guys, or they're not as muscular or whatever. You know,
but don't you think that's what we've passed it. Yeah, but don't you find that women are more acceptable of that than men? Versus, like they're not as harsh. You know, like, we'll take a guy who's a little overweight. Like, we won't, I don't know. It's not, maybe that.
I think it depends on the woman. And it depends on the environment. And it depends on your friends. And it depends, because it has more to do with how confident a person is with themselves, whether or not they're going to look for the jewel inside, as you said. Because if they're confident within themselves, then what a person looks like has got really not a whole lot to do with it, as long because they're appreciating the
person. Because we all get older. We all, you know, we lose our looks as we get older. So what's going to hold it together? You can have 1,000 plastic surgeries, but that's not going to make you feel better. You know what I mean? We got to get from the outside and go back into our hearts inside. And I think we think too much, and we're bombarded by diet this, diet that. I think that doesn't help. I think the media and all that, you know, Hollywood, they put up all these people that we're supposed to supposedly be like.
Uh-huh.
You know, our heroes. Our heroes are not big people unless you look back in the ages. You know, it's sort of like if they are, they'd be like opera singers or somebody like that.
What you have to understand too is that we as women, you know, it depends on your culture.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you look back into where the paintings of old, the Rubenesque women were anything but thin.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it got to the point that you know, if a woman had weight on her, that she was wealthy because she had enough money for food. It was the skinny women that obviously were sickly, and the men figured they didn't have enough money for food. They wanted to be with the heavier women.
Exactly. Even in African tribes, it was like that.
Exactly.
You know, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think our society, like in America, or, you know, the way we think, is too exterior. And I know there's a lot of people that aren't like that, but it just seems in her age group, of course, they're not very enlightened at that age. So it's the pressure is a lot harder.
Right,
until
right.
I come to terms. You know, I mean, I'm older, so I can see this, but looking back, I remember what it was like to be 20 and, you know, you had to be this way or that way to fit in. Or it's the ostracizing that I don't like.
Right.
But people look. She says, Mom, she's almost got agoraphobia from it because I'll walk with her and she's okay, but if she's by herself, she feels like all eyes are on her, and a lot of times they are, comparing. And I said, well, you know what? Let those people look, and maybe they'll see something else one day. But right now, you have to be the one that has to be strong, unfortunately, you know? That's where she's trying to get her strength.
Well, first of all, you know, I would really encourage you to listen to her words and to observe her actions, because in our mm-hmm. conversation, she's gone
right.
from feeling, you know, insecure because of her looks, because of emotional sensation she had from her dad when she was younger, to not
right.
caring what she looks like, and she posts her picture and everything's great and wonderful, to now you're saying that she feels sometimes uncomfortable walking down the street. And the bottom
right.
line is about her moving into her own self-love. That's what this is about. It's about really
right.
understanding who we are. Yeah.
Exactly.
And quite frankly,
and
it's not about
one.
Being strong. No. Liz, hear me. It's not about being
okay.
strong.
No.
It's not about being strong. It's not about saying, heck with all of you. It's not about saying, take me the way I am and screw the rest of you. That's not what it is.
I know.
What it is saying, I forgive myself.
Exactly.
And I love myself.
I mean,
and I want to really move into the shame of who I, of what I'm carrying so and to neutralize it so I no longer have to hold it. And that's what you need to help your daughter with.
Yes. And that's
okay.
That's a good suggestion. I appreciate
right.
that.
Yeah.
Because
okay, well, thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you, Donna.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Okay, folks, but see, that's it. You see, we have to really kind of get honest with who we are. We have an email question here and from Linda. And what I want to share with you is it's a great question because it's really moving into our question about it's really moving. Again, we thank Novella for calling in from Canada. I really want the rest of you folks to keep calling in. We only have about 20 more minutes left of the show. But I want to, so her question is that she's had an addictive personality all of her life, and some of her addictions are or were romantic love, food, codependency, patient, and some have overlapped, but thankfully not all at the same time. She also had some long-term illnesses, especially depression. And she wanted to know if this can also be an addiction. It sounds like this topic is good for more than one show here. And her other question is this something that I've chosen for this whole lifetime, meaning is it totally predetermined without opportunity to correct the situation? And if not, suggestions on how I might change it. So, okay, so I want you to tune in, Linda. I want you to get your notepad out, and we're going to give you some information here. First of all, the addictions that you've been talking about here, all right, they are, and by the way, depression is not an addiction so much as an internal anger. So it's really about, your question is, can depression be an addiction? There are aspects, what the record keepers are saying, is there are aspects of depression that can be addictive based on the behavior it incites in others. So, for example, if you are depressed and the reason why you maintain the depression, or that's not the right wording. Wait, let me get this right. If, in fact, you're depressed and what you do is the depression has, let's say, started from, I got to get these words right. If the depression itself, and they're interesting the way they're using the words here, has been ignited or created by an anger itself for being hopeless or helpless. In other words, so I'm So the depression cycle will kind of go like this, what they're saying, is you feel helpless to change an addiction. You get angry at yourself for being helpless. That helplessness creates the depression, which then expands the addiction, which then creates more anger at self, which creates more of the depression. And do you see the cycle? So the more depressed I am, the more addictive I become to help myself, because the addiction is what has helped, what we think helps us feel better is when we ingest or eat, or the actions seem to alleviate pain for a very brief moment. And then we go right back into self-loathing. And so, but the addictive part of depression has to do is if you have other people around you that are enabling you and that actually give you attention when they notice you're feeling A, depressed, or B, helpless, or you're feeling down and hopeless, if in fact that's the only way you have learned to get attention from others or the ones you love, that is the addictive part. Okay? Now, what's important for you to understand is that even though you've been experiencing these various addictions, if you will, as well as the depression, it is not, I'm going to repeat that again, it is not a predetermined thing that you cannot get out of. Did you create this, or were these depressions or these addictions part of your experience in this lifetime? Yes, absolutely. That was a choice, and there was like, yeah, there's many choices we have in this lifetime, and these were one of them. Yes, these were the choices, but you also have a choice. Now, I can go either way here. You also have a choice to be able to move through these addictions and move into a strong self-acceptance and self-love so that you no longer need to hide behind the pain medication or the codependency or the looking for romantic love or sex or whatever or the depression. So it's really about moving into a state of not only self-value, but it's also about moving into a state of caring enough about wanting to feel good about you that you begin to really look at with baby steps. And you know, nothing happens overnight. Sometimes, you know, a 24-hour, 360-degree turn is too much for us. We need to be able to literally walk down the driveway and back up. If you're overweight, you want to walk down the driveway and back a couple of times. Okay? That's what I'm doing, by the way. Until you feel strong enough to go down the block. And when you feel strong enough to go down the block, then you go farther. But the reality here is the same thing with self-love. You have to choose one or two things every day that make you feel good about you. And don't beat yourself up for the other choices. And eventually, you want to be able to increase those. So if you do one or two things every day that make you feel good about you, you make a healthy choice. You don't succumb to a depressing thought, or you move, whatever it is that you deem will make you feel good about you that is healthy. This is a healthy choice, not an addictive choice, a healthy choice. And then you move from one to two, to two to three, to three to four, and you take baby steps as you're able, and constantly give yourself credit for moving into that strength that you are, and moving into what you're doing right. It's real easy to tell yourself about all the stuff you're doing wrong, but it's really about what you're doing right. And so what I would suggest, Linda, is that there are core issues here that I will not get into over the air because they may be too personal, and I don't want, that's not what this is, but there are core issues here that created the addictions, and there are core issues here that can be neutralized by understanding what they are. And that's what we do in a consultation. But hopefully what we've come up with here so far has been helpful to you, and you will take those steps to do one, to make sure that you do at least one or two things every day, and then increase them on a weekly basis to make you feel good about you. Very important, very important. I so thank you for that email question. That was so important for us. My computer just went kaflooey here, so I have to. That's a technical term, kaflooey. I don't know if you've ever used that word, but it's a kaflooey. Yes, that's. It happens a lot when Mercury is retrograde. Anyway, I guess some folks laughing at me here. Okay, so talking more about core issues, about why did you bring these into your life? What is the reason why we are now where we are on this planet? Why is that? We want to understand that these addictions and these ways that we are now moving into have to do with understanding the core issues of why we chose them in our life. It's the emotional piece that we have to get at. Because the reason that's so important now is we're at a very critical time on the planet from a species point of view. Very critical time. And that critical time is all about us understanding that the more we move into love of self, the more we can actually avert challenges in the future. We can shift ourselves out of catastrophe. But it has to do with self-love, and that's one of the reasons why we're so hooked on yes, we're addictive society. We are bringing addictions to the forefront so we can start moving into our self-love. And what's really important for Linda and for Noella's daughter and for myself and for other people, I mean, everybody has something that we're they've struggled with addictions in their life, or they've seen people who have struggled with addictions in their life. And so for those people who say, I don't know what addiction is, I want you to think about the time that you had a lover that didn't call you and you ached for that person to call you. So that aching is what people who are in addictive situations feel. They have that yearning for either the drug or the food or the romance or the medication. The aching is what they want. They feel if they have that thing, that will make them feel better. The same way if you've waited for someone to call you. I'm trying to help people out there who have said, I don't know what addictions are. Few and far between, but there are some. That's what we're talking about. So there is emotional addictions, there's physical addictions, there's spiritual addictions. Okay. And the other piece, before we sign off, what I really want to talk about also is that, especially for, let me just make sure I got this right. Okay, so what the record keepers are saying is that every addiction carries a certain attachment of an entity that feeds off the addiction. It's a lower level vibe. It's a lower level vibratory rate entity. That's why, and many of these entities will hang around in bars or casinos, you know, and play at malls for people who are shopping, you know, spendaholics or shopaholics. So the idea here is that what you want to do is be aware that one of the best ways that you can neutralize that attachment is through self-love. Addictions cannot thrive, and the lower level entities, lower frequency entities, cannot maintain their attachment when they're dealing with a being that is moving into self-love in a big way. And so maybe that's the next topic. Maybe that's what we want to talk about, is how do we actually move into self-love? What does self-love look like? What does self-love feel like? And how do we attain it? And what are the other things that we need to talk about in this wonderful new time frame that I have? We have about 2 more minutes left. So if there's anyone that wants to call in, they should do it now, real quick. And that's 888-228-4494. What you'll notice is, again, as I said, I'm a no-nonsense girl. I don't take breaks. I'm happy to have sponsors if somebody would like me to promote their product, as long as I think it's a good product. But let me take this short amount of time to let you know that if, in fact, you would like to learn more about the Akashic Records, email me, and I'll be happy to email you a whole packet of information about the Akashic Records, how to access the Akashic Records, and how they work. Happy to do that. Email me at info@akashicwisdom.com, and write me a little note that I listened to the program and I'd like to have more information about your work in the Akasha. I'll be happy to email you back. Also, for those people who would like to know more about how to access your records and learn how to do that, I'm in Cleveland, Ohio, and I will be offering a workshop, a level one workshop in August, because the other one is now gone. But the August workshop for level one is going to be the 8th and 9th of August, and a level two workshop in August is going to be August 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. So level one, you learn how to access the records, your own records, and you learn how to use the records and the energy of the Akasha in every area of your life. And level two, you learn how to read the records of others with their permission, the land, and animals. And so that's what's coming up in August. And so I want to say thank you to everyone who was listening. I hope you listen this week. The same time, same station. We are getting ready to sign off. So I want to close the records tonight of the Akashic Wisdom Show. Again, this is Donna Fox. And I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. We ask that all those listening, may their hearts be opened, their burdens be lifted, and may they all look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records and say amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. If you would join me in saying amen. Thank you, everyone. Have a miracle-filled week, and I'll see you at 7:55 Pacific, 10:55 Eastern next week. Have a great week. Love you all. This is Donna Fox saying goodnight. Bye-bye.